Our scripture passage is Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Let us hear the word of God. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we ask for your Holy Spirit now. That your Holy Spirit open up our hearts and our minds, that we may understand your word, and that glory be given to Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Many, many years ago, when I was in seminary, I had the privilege of working on a dairy farm. I had many responsibilities. Had to feed the calves and the cows. Had to load the cows into the milking machine, make sure they were all hooked up just right. Had to mend fences. But there was one chore that I still remember today. And that was the chore of cleaning out the manure piles. Let me tell you, if you ever have to choose between cow manure and chicken manure, always go with the cow manure. The cow manure had to be cleaned out of the barns. The chicken manure had to be cleaned out from the pens, and that on a daily basis. Then, after all the manure was gathered, I had to spread it all over the fields to fertilize the fields. And sometimes it was difficult to distinguish between the manure and me, because a lot of times I had more manure on me than what was out in the fields. Yeah, I'll never forget that experience. You know, manure is a funny thing. How can something that smells so bad be so good if it's applied correctly? If you spread it all over the fields, it helps things grow. But if you keep it all in one big pile, then everything around it dies. You know, Christians are a lot like manure. If we spread throughout our community, our schools, our state, throughout the whole world, if we spread our influence, the influence of Christ, over the entire world, it helps things, spiritual things, grow in a positive way. Paul echoes this thought in his letter to the Ephesians when he tells us to live as children of light. Live as children of light, which consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. What Paul is saying is that by living consistently as the children of God, living consistently as Christians, we will have a positive influence on society. Like fruit trees that have been fertilized with the manure, and then they produce good fruit. If Christians are consistent in living for Christ, we will have a positive impact upon our society. But if we just keep to ourselves, if we seek to serve ourselves, if we seek to love the world and the things that are in the world, then sadly, then the church just becomes like a pile of manure. Everything around it dies. When manure is applied to the fields as it should be, things grow. But if manure is allowed to pile up in one spot, then everything dies. Now, the question I want you to ask yourself this morning is, are you applied manure Or are you acting like a pile of manure? Are you spreading out and bringing the influence of Christ to your home, to your business, to your school, to your community? Or are you just keeping everything to yourself? Well, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus insinuates that Christians are a lot like manure. We are applied manure. When Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth." Like manure, when it's used in the right way, salt, if it's used in the right way, is beneficial. Well, in Jesus' day, the primary function of salt was to preserve, was to act like an antiseptic. It wasn't so much as a seasoning as we would think it would be in our culture, but it was used in Jesus' culture to preserve meat. If you rubbed salt into the meat, then the meat would not rot as fast, but it could be kept for a time. Now, our Lord says, "We are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth." Notice he doesn't say, "You need to become salt." No. He says, "You are salt." He says, "Be what you are." Well, what does this imply? Well, it implies two very important things. First, it implies that our culture, our world, is susceptible to spiritual decay. It implies that the tendency of our culture is to be foul and offensive, like a pile of manure. Listen to what the Bible says about those who are outside of Christ. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. "Every inclination of man's thoughts and heart was only evil all the time." Romans 3. "There is no one who is righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands God. No one seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one." Romans 8. "The sinful mind is death. The sinful mind is hostile to God and will not submit to Him." You know what the second law of thermodynamics is? It's entropy. And what entropy teaches us is that things are spiraling downward towards decay and towards disorder. Well, what the Bible says about man's heart is that there is this spiritual entropy. The human spiritual condition is only sinful all of the time, but it doesn't remain in the same state. It has a tendency to spiral downward. In other words, the sinful human heart has a tendency to get worse and worse and worse, more sinful, more sinful, more sinful. Unless there is something that is applied to the human heart. The human heart, if left to itself, becomes totally spiritually putrid. It's like an infection that grows and grows and grows unless there is an antiseptic applied to it. So the sinful human heart becomes more and more sinful. It spirals down and down and down, becoming more and more evil. That's the first thing that is implied by Jesus' words. The second thing that is implied by Jesus' words is that the church, you, the children of God, you are the antiseptic that slows down the decay of the culture. You're the salt that preserves society from decaying faster than what it would ordinarily do. It's like kind of riding on a horse. You're riding the horse and you pull back on the reins and it causes the horse to slow down. Well, the church, being the church, demonstrating the holiness, the love, the goodness of God, out in the culture, pulls back on the reins of the sinful heart of those who are outside the kingdom of God. Jesus says, you are the antiseptic in a sinful culture. And the more you demonstrate who Jesus Christ is, the truth and the goodness and the righteousness and the holiness of Jesus Christ in your home, in your business, in your community, in your schools, in your government, the more sin is restrained. The reins of sin are pulled back so that the home, the business, the schools, the government does not spiritually decay as fast as it would. Also, Jesus says that you are the light of the world. Now, what he is implying is that as Jesus is the light for the church, in his light we see light. And when we live according to the light of Christ, we shed the light of Christ to our community. See, the purpose of light is to illuminate things. It shows the right way. It also exposes the wrong way. Again, hear what Paul writes to the Ephesians. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. As we consistently live as the children of God, the light of Christ shines through us to our culture. And those who were living in darkness, those who were outside the kingdom of God, begin to get a glimpse of the truth of Jesus Christ. They may not read the Bible, but my friend, they will read you. And as Christ lives through you, in some cases, the people who see Christ living in you, they may come to Christ. But in other cases, even the light exposes the evil and it shows the world how to live. As the Christian takes time to be holy and to walk with the Lord, you're going to stand out. The light of Christ will shine upon your life. And those outside the kingdom, some of those may come to believe, but others will get a glimpse of the glory of Christ. And by doing so, by living in the light of Christ, our culture then is, once again, it is preserved from total evil. But sometimes the church doesn't live like the church. Sometimes the church doesn't put forth the light. Sometimes the church puts forth darkness. By many Christians not being transformed by the renewing of their minds, by not growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, many Christians at times, their lives still seem to promote sin and not holiness. Notice the warning here of Christ. Salt is a remedy. It is a remedy against the decaying of meat. But there's no remedy for decaying of salt. Jesus says, if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Well, he's implying that it can't be. He continues by saying, it is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. In that culture, once the salt lost its saltiness, once it could no longer be used to preserve the meat, the only thing that it was good for then was to be thrown out onto the roads, to be trampled under the feet of those who walk by. This is difficult, because in that culture, to trample something under your feet was to pronounce a curse upon it. So what Jesus is doing, he's giving a warning to the church, to those who call themselves Christians. He's giving a warning to those who take upon themselves the name of Jesus Christ and claim to be children of the living God. And what he is saying is that if they live in darkness, if they continue unrepentant in their sinful ways, though they may claim to be a Christian, the only thing that is left for them is judgment. The writer to the Hebrews says, well, let me read it to you. Let me read it to you just so that my paraphrase is not misunderstood. This is from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4. He says, it is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance, because to their loss they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting Him to public disgrace. What the writer to the Hebrews is saying is that those who have claimed to be Christians and for a time, for a while, continued outwardly with Christ and were counted as part of the church, if they now turn away and reject Christ, then the only thing that they can expect is the wrath of God to fall upon them on the day of judgment. Like the salt, when it loses its saltiness, is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and then trampled upon. So those who have taken the name of Christian, but have now abandoned the Christian faith, the only thing that they are to expect is the wrath of God upon them. But my friend, the only reason the world is not as bad as it can be is because of you. Because the church making a positive impact upon its culture. We would all agree that the public school system is probably an evil thing. But why is it that the public school system is not as bad as it can be? It is because there are Christians in the public school system. Teachers, administrators, coaches. And they act as salt and light. They keep the public school system from decaying faster than what it ordinarily would. Governments throughout the world, they are evil. Our government, it's an evil thing. But why is it that when you compare government to government, our government is not as bad as other nations? It is because there are people who are Christians that work within the government system. They work as salt and light within the government system to preserve the government from being as bad as it can be. Christians acting as salt and light in the world. We stem the tide of the influence of evil upon our culture. Just think of the examples in Scripture that the Holy Spirit gives us where there was such little Christian influence in the culture. In the days of Noah, the influence of godly people was at a very minimum, and evil increased to a crescendo. It got worse. It spiraled down and down and down until then God sent the flood to destroy all things. In the days of Abraham and Lot, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah had practically no Christian influence at all. And that culture spiraled down and down and down. If you take the presence of Christ out of the world, if you take the presence of Christ as it is manifested in the church, out of the world, if you take the church out of the world is going to spiral down and down and down. Evil will rise. But as Christians live in holiness, as we teach holiness, as we work in our jobs for holiness, as we vote for holiness, as we seek to live as the children of light, as we seek, as Paul tells us in Ephesians 1, to be imitators of God, the world watches and the world responds. Some of those response will be that some people will become Christians. Another response is that by watching the church be the church, those who are outside the church will recognize the goodness and the purity and want that for themselves. But the other response will be what Jesus has already talked to us about. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Jesus says that, and then immediately after that he says, you're the salt. You're the salt of the earth. Being salt of the earth not only will help preserve our culture from being as bad as it could be, but it will also bring persecution upon us. Let me just conclude by giving you a good example. The Bible talks about faith, faith in Christ. That faith in Christ has its beginnings in two things. The preaching of the Word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit upon an individual's heart and mind. As the preacher preaches the gospel, as he preaches Christ, the Holy Spirit descends upon the congregation. And that God's Word does not return void. So there is this inseparable connection between the preached Word and faith in Jesus Christ. Faith has its beginnings in the preaching of God's Word. That's why Paul says in Romans chapter 10 that faith comes from hearing the Word of God. Now that's important for you to understand. But now let me ask you, can you tell me 5 sermons that you've heard? Can you stand up right now and tell me about 5 sermons that you've heard? You can't do it. But if I were to ask you, tell me about 5 people that have made a Christian influence in your life. You can do that. And that's what Jesus is talking about when he says, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. Yes, it is true that your faith had its beginnings in the work of the Holy Spirit as you heard the gospel preached. But you don't remember even 5 sermons. But you remember 5 people who were salt and light to you in your life. And that's what Jesus is saying we should be. Be salt and light in your home, in your church, in your community, in your business, at your school. Be salt and light. Because by doing so, you stem the tide of evil. Oh, I could give you another example from history, but I'm out of time. I will use that and save that for another sermon. But if you remember the story of Moses, that when he went up to the mountain, and that he came back down, his face shone because he had been in the presence of Jesus Christ. Oh, my friend, let your light shine. Let it shine in your culture, because people will know that you have been with Christ. Be applied manure. Don't be a pile of it, but be applied manure. Spread out over the fields. Help righteousness and goodness and holiness grow. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit applying your word to our hearts and minds, that we would be drawn in faith to Jesus Christ. But Heavenly Father, we also thank you for those people that you have put in our life, people that you chose to put in our life. And as they acted as salt and light, we were influenced to also want to be salt and light for Christ. Oh, Heavenly Father, let your light shine in our hearts, that we then in turn would let your light shine in our lives that others may hear and believe. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.